Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this Sunday, this beautiful Lord's Day, where we gather together to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is indeed a beautiful day outside, and we give God thanks for this day. This is also 4th of July weekend, so we give God thanks for that. We give God thanks for our country and for the freedoms that we enjoy here in this country. Just want to apprise you of a few announcements again, to remind you of the Vacation Bible School that is coming up July the 25th through Thursday the 27th. We'll be getting some flyers out in the community. If you want some flyers to pass out to people that you know, I have some in the office, but please, anyone that you know, children who may be interested in Vacation Bible School, please sign them up. If you know some adults who would like to be a part of that as well, we're always looking for volunteers. So again, that's going to be on July the 25th through Thursday, July the 27th. Also in July, we will be having our movie night. We have had that before. It's often been a big hit in the community. So we're going to have that again July on Friday, July the 21st, and Friday, July the 28th. So please mark that down on your calendars. Plan to be there with us. We set out a big screen there in the back, and we have a movie. It's a wonderful opportunity to fellowship, a wonderful opportunity for the community to be out and to for us to meet and greet neighbors, and it's really a wonderful time. So again, that's going to be Friday, July the 21st, and July the 28th. Of course, there are other things going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please make sure that you take the time to read your bulletin to stay apprised of all that is going on at Olney Presbyterian Church, especially as the summertime gets underway. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans. Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We'll be reading from chapter 6 of Romans, beginning verse 12 and reading through verse 23. So let us listen to God's word for us. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free to regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the word of the Lord. You may be an ambassador to England or France, You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. I think those lyrics by the songwriter Bob Dylan capture the essence of what the Apostle Paul is saying in our epistle lesson this morning. Paul wants us to understand that regardless of who we might be, that we're all are going to have to serve somebody. We're all going to have to serve someone or something. Someone or something is going to have power over our lives. I know that probably sounds a little strange to most of us. After all, we're Americans, and as Americans, we're very much into our freedom. We like to celebrate the fact that we are free. We like to celebrate the fact that we're independent. And oftentimes when we talk about freedom as Americans, what we mean is the freedom to do whatever we want. I'm sure you've heard people who said that, "I'm free and so I can do whatever I want. I'm free. If I want to shoot firecrackers late into the night, I'm free to do that. If I want to blast my car stereo real loud on Sunday mornings while some people are in church, then I'm free to do that. I'm free to do whatever I want. Nobody tells me what to do." I'm sure you've all heard someone say that. Maybe you've said that yourselves. But Paul this morning reminds us that our understanding of freedom is an illusion. Paul wants us to understand that none of us are really as free as we think we might be, that there is always someone or something that is going to be our master. There is always someone or something who is going to rule over us, someone or something that is going to dictate what we do. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but yet we're going to serve somebody. We're going to serve somebody or something. We're going to be somebody's slave. We just have to figure out whose slave we're going to be. You know, Paul says that we are either going to be a slave to righteousness or we're going to be slaves to sin. And I know that when we think of sin, what often comes to mind are all the individual things that we do that often misses the mark of what God has called us to be. We often think of the individual ways that we hurt other people, all the individual ways that we hurt ourselves, all the individual ways that we grieve God and break God's heart. But when Paul talks about sin this morning, he talks about sin with a capital S. Sin doesn't just refer to the individual infractions that we commit, but for Paul, sin is a force. It is a tyrannical and oppressive power that enslaves us and forces us to obey its dictates. Sin is something that captures our hearts and our imaginations and prevents us from being able to do anything other than what sin wants us to do. And so Paul says we're either going to be a slave to righteousness or we're going to be slaves to the power of sin. I know that you know, we often don't like to talk a whole lot about sin anymore. I've discovered that some people don't like the word sin at all. In fact, I've discovered that there are some people, even in some churches, that want to get rid of the confession of sin because they don't like sin talk. They think that sin and our talk of sin somehow impugns human dignity. But Paul says, whether we like it or not, we're going to be slaves to something. We can either be a slave to righteousness or we're going to be slaves to sin. Have you ever noticed sometimes when people do things and you say, why in the world would they have done that? Why would somebody do something like that? Certainly they know better. And it's really kind of easy to understand. It's the power of sin. They're enslaved to the power of sin. I remember several years ago, a politician in New York, an up-and-coming politician, he's at the top of his game, being mentioned as being a possible presidential candidate. Had a wonderful family, a wonderful story, brilliant, brilliant career. And it all came crashing down suddenly when it was discovered that he was using escort services on the public dime. And I remember people saying, why in the world, why would he do something like that? He had his whole future ahead of him. He was bright. He was smart. He had a big future ahead of him. The sky was the limit. Why would he risk everything by doing what he did? But it's relatively easy. He was enslaved to the power of sin. Just this week, I read another story about a former assemblyman in Ohio, former Speaker of the House of Ohio. Again, a man on top of his game, a very powerful person. And yet he was indicted for racketeering, and this week he was found guilty of racketeering. His whole accomplishments, everything that he's accomplished has gone out the window. And again, you say, why would somebody do something like that? Why would he put everything at risk? And again, it's easy, the power of sin. Sin, again, is something that captures us. It's something that oppresses us. It's something that causes us to do what we sometimes might not want to do if we were thinking clearly. But Paul says you're going to be enslaved by something. You're either going to be enslaved by righteousness or you're going to be enslaved by the power of sin. That'd be interesting to put on a bumper sticker this weekend while we're downtown celebrating the 4th of July, where everybody is talking about freedom. We reminded ourselves of how enslaved we are, of how captured we all are by the power of sin. You know, I know this is the 4th of July weekend. And I really love the 4th of July. In fact, I love being in Philadelphia on the 4th of July. You know, this is the city where it all started. You know, to me, Philadelphia is kind of like Jerusalem or Rome or someplace like that. You know, I always wanted to come to Philadelphia. Here I am, but on the 4th of July. But the 4th of July, of course, is the time that we celebrate our freedom as a nation, the time we celebrate our independence. But freedom always brings with it a kind of paradox. You know, the more freedom you have, or the more freedom you want, the more necessary it is to shackle yourself to the kinds of habits and virtues that help to sustain freedom. You know, we give God thanks that we live in a democracy, and we're reminded that democracies such as the one we live in is a relatively rare occurrence. There haven't been very many of them in history, and there aren't very many of them now, and the ones that are extremely shaky. Indeed, over the past 50 years, there have been many nations that have done exactly what we have done, many nations that have won their independence, fought for their independence, won their independence, and they've done exactly what we've done. They've written up beautiful constitutions replete with bills of rights and all kinds of things respecting the dignity and the rights of their respective populations. But they all failed. Or many, many of them have failed. And many of them failed because they failed to shackle themselves to the kinds of virtues that could sustain their freedom. And many of us know what those virtues are. Things like honesty, truth-telling, a free and objective press, an educated citizenry that takes the time to familiarize itself with the issues so that they can be educated and up on it and make rational decisions that it's in the best interest of everyone, peaceful transfer of power, graciousness to admit one's defeat. You know, we got to be ruled by those things. If we're not ruled by those things, if we're not governed by those things, then we're going to be ruled by something else. We're going to be enslaved by something else. We're going to be enslaved by our passions. And we know what that leads, because we see it again and again and again throughout history. It leads to tribalism. It leads to conflict. It leads to war. It leads to violence. And when it's all over, you don't have the freedoms that you may have wanted to have in the beginning. And as I said, history is replete with examples of people who wanted freedom but thought that you could have freedom by doing anything you want. But unless you are shackled to virtue, the kind of virtue, public virtues that sustain freedom, then you won't be free for very long. You know, we're reminded that our country is the first country that was born in the principles of the Enlightenment. We're the first country that was born on principles of liberty and equality and freedom. And indeed, it was one of the prophets of the Enlightenment, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who once said that people are everywhere born free, but everywhere they die in chains. But I think the Apostle Paul would have disagreed with that. The Apostle Paul would have said just the opposite. Paul would have said that everywhere people are born enslaved. Everywhere people are born enslaved to the forces and powers of sin and death. We're all born enslaved, but we were made for freedom. We weren't born for slavery. We were made for freedom. But it's the kind of freedom that only comes by shackling ourselves to righteousness. The kind of freedom that comes by shackling ourselves to virtue, to God's virtue, to God's righteousness, the righteousness of God and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be enslaved by something. Something's going to enslave us. You're going to either be enslaved by God or you're going to be enslaved by sin. And Paul reminds us that all of us who are in Christ, we have been set free from the powers of sin and death. Set free not to do anything that we want, but we have been set free to be enslaved to God. You know, Paul recognizes that. He begins the book of the Romans by identifying himself as that. Paul opens up the book of Romans by saying that he is a slave of Christ. Some translations say that he is a servant, but the Greek word doulos means slave. And that's what Paul, that's how Paul identifies himself. He says, I'm a slave of Christ. I belong to Christ. I belong to God. The work that I do is God's work. The mission that I've been given is God's own mission. It's Christ's own mission. I'm a slave for Christ. And Paul says that because Paul knows that that's the only thing that brings freedom. Real freedom comes from being and belonging to God. Real freedom comes from doing righteousness, God's righteousness. Real freedom comes by being what God created us to be. Human beings who reflect God's image in the world. Paul says in our baptism, we died to the old self. We died to that old sinful self. We're no longer enslaved to that old sinful self. We died to it, and we've been raised anew. We've been raised into newness of life. But Paul knows that the struggle of sin is always there, and so he says, don't allow your members to become dominated by the slavery of sin. Don't give your members over to the power of sin. And that's the challenge of all of us this morning. You know, one of the things you have to do if you want real freedom is you got to get the slavery out of you. You got to get the old slavery out of you, the old slave mentality out of you. You know, that's what happened to God's people in the wilderness after they were freed from Egypt. You know, God led them out into the wilderness, but they had to get the slavery out of them. They had to get the Egypt out of them. They kept looking back to Egypt, looking back how things were in Egypt, looking back how of all the things that they had in Egypt, they forgot they didn't have any freedom. They forgot they had to work 24/7. They forgot all of the hardships. All they remembered was at least they had something to eat. And Moses has to remind them, you're out here, you've been given your freedom. You're now free. And yes, freedom is a scary thing. Yes, I know you would want to go back to the old, but you've been set free. But you got to get the slavery out of you. It was true for many American slaves, too. We talked about Juneteenth a couple of weeks ago, people hearing that they were free. But many slaves had never been free before. All they knew was slavery, and so they had to get the slavery out of them. And that was true for many of the revolutionary generation. The 1776 generation, many of them, after we had won our independence, many of them, the only thing that they knew was that they were subjects of Britain, and many of them, that's what they always wanted to be, subjects of Britain, and so they had to get the slavery out of them. They had to learn what it meant to live as free people. They had to shackle themselves to the virtues of what it means to be a free people. And Paul says the same thing for you and me. We've got to get the slavery out of us. We can no longer think in the old ways of the world, the old sinful slave ways of the world. But we have to get the slavery out of us. We have to learn what it really means to live as God's free people. You know, someone was saying that the story of our country is the story of unfolding freedom. You know, freedom first for, you know, property white males, and then freedom for all white males, and then freedom for African American males, and then freedom for women. a story of unfolding freedom, and indeed it may well be. I'm afraid, however, that we don't always know what to do with our freedom, because we think that freedom is about doing whatever we want. And Paul reminds us that real freedom comes only in serving God. You're going to serve somebody. You're going to either serve sin or you're going to serve righteousness. You're going to either serve the devil or you're going to serve the Lord, as John Dillon says. The Bible, too, is a story of unfolding freedom. You'll remember that God tells Moses to go into Egypt and to let my people go. That's the message that God tells Moses to bring to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Let them go. But it's interesting that Moses doesn't say, go, let my people go so that they can go out and play Nintendo 24/7. He doesn't say, let my people go so that they could go surf the internet. He doesn't say, let my people go so that they can spend all of their time shopping. He doesn't say, let my people go so they can walk around with guns and show and prove how tough they are. He doesn't say, let my people go so that they can engage in a life of sexual license. He doesn't say, let my people go so that they can do anything they want to do. He says, let my people go so that they could go worship me. It's only in worship, only when we give ourselves over to God, only when we resolve to be enslaved to God, that we have true freedom. You're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. You and I are here this morning on this 4th of July weekend. We are here this morning because we know who we serve. We are here this morning because we know who the Lord of our life is. We are here this morning because we know who we are enslaved to. We are shackled to the God of life, the God of freedom, the God of love, the God who created us in God's own image. God has told us what it means to really be free, and what it really means to be free is not being able to do the things we want to do, not doing anything we want to do, but being free is always the freedom to love, the freedom to love our neighbors, and the freedom to love God. And that's what we have been set free to do. On this 4th of July weekend, I think we all of us here this morning have a wonderful opportunity, particularly in the midst of what is going on right now in our nation. We all have this wonderful opportunity to show our fellow citizens what real freedom looks like. Real freedom isn't about indulging our passions. Real freedom isn't about despising and hating our neighbors. Real freedom isn't about indulging our divisions. Real freedom isn't about supporting our favorite candidates. Real freedom is about giving ourselves wholeheartedly to the God who has called us to love each other, just as he has loved each and every one of us. So let us be that light in the midst of our world. Let us show our fellow Americans what real freedom looks like. You're going to be enslaved to something. For God's sake, be enslaved to God, because that's the only thing that gives us true life and true freedom. Let us pray. Dear God, you have set us all on the path this morning and on this day and time. You have set us all on the path to be your people. Lord, we live in a nation that lauds freedom, that worships freedom. We can win almost every argument by making it an argument about freedom. But you have called us to demonstrate and to live out what real freedom looks like. Lord, we ask that for your continued blessings on each of us, and especially for your continued blessings of our nation. Help us to understand that what makes us a great nation is not the things that we think registers greatness. It's not the strength of our military. It's not the size of our economy. It's not even the eloquence of our written constitution. It's not the fealty that we give to law and order, but the real greatness of the nation is the greatness that you exhibited in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the greatness of sacrificial, self-giving love for the sake of others. That is what real greatness looks like. It looks like a young prophet dying on the cross for the sake of the world. Lord, we know that we have to serve something. We have to serve someone. We have to serve somebody. We ask that you continue to bless us as we continue to serve you. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.